Great to be a Christian.
Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end, or throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody said, Amen. I know you've had a great week and had a good time with family during the Thanksgiving time. I hope that you're still enjoying some of your company and your family like I am. I have part of my family with me today. Some of them had to go home, but some of them got to stay, and we're grateful to have them with us today. Great is thy faithfulness. What a wonderful thing. Appreciated your story, Chris, about the O thou fount of every blessing. And I always just like to mention quickly about in that song, for you young people that may be singing and wondering, what in the world is an Ebenezer? Here I raise my Ebenezer. Well, read over in 1 Samuel chapter 7, and you'll read about the Israelites being delivered by God from the Philistines. And Ebenezer was a stone that they set up called Ebenezer means the stone of help. And it meant that God was their helper. And that sort of fits right into what we want to talk about today. And that is the great faithfulness of God. God is faithful. In the book of Psalms 89, we read some great words there. You can read along with me, or you can look at them as we check them out here on the screen. See that? Isn't that wonderful? Did you ever notice that how the computer easily, you know, checks itself? When it goes backwards, it comes right back. That's pretty neat. Nobody got it. Okay. Psalms 89, verses 1 through 8. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, and thy faithfulness thou shalt establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, and I have sworn unto David my servant. And thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. That's a musical thing that goes in here. And the heaven shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? We know the answer to that question, right? No one, right? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? You know the answer to that one, don't you? No one. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all of them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Here the psalmist continues to compare who can be faithful as the Lord. No one can. When I think about our world today where we're living, we live in a world that we have all of these passive sort of commitments and broken promises all around us. Somebody's mate leaves and goes out the door and walks out on a family. One maybe who promised till death do we part. Sometimes in some families there are parental promises that are never lived up to or kept. Maybe you work at the company where the boss talks about raises or promotions, but they sometimes seem to never come your way. or the salesman who makes all sorts of promises in order to sort of sell his product. They usually are filled with deception, sometimes even untruths. Platitudes, of course, always deliver whatever they promise. Right? You know a platitude, don't you? Never mind, I won't explain that one. We can find these kinds of things around us everywhere where people just never seem to fulfill their promises. I think you probably witness on the TV all of those things that are promised. Now, there's always some new invention. But wait! You've heard that commercial, right? If you order today, what will happen? You're going to get taken for twice as much. That's what's going to happen. That's the way they have it worded. In fact, is there anything really certain in this world? How many have you been to Uncertain, Texas? Let me see your hand. Interesting place if you've read something about it, and not being a native, I had to just so I could figure out why did they call this place Uncertain, Texas. Well, go read about it. You'll find out how that the river kept rising and flooding and so forth, so they were really uncertain whether they lived in Texas or Louisiana, I suppose. That's just the way it was back in those days when the dams were not built and flood control was tried to take care of things. Uncertain Texas. There's a lot of uncertainty. And who is the person that first called a hairdo a permanent? Ray, do you know who that was? We'd all like to find, us men would like to find out who that guy is, right? Because ladies go to get a permanent. Just how permanent is it? Well, you see what it did for me. If it's permanent, why do you have to keep on doing it? In our society, there's just sort of a general air of suspicion, and maybe a general distrust of people. And that's because of our experiences, I think, that we have with people and what we hear about things that are promised and people who don't deliver on their promises. It's a sad thing when a Christian has to live his life always in a suspicious nature. I used to call those kind of folks sin sniffers, Jim. Did you ever know a sin sniffer? Wondering what was going on. I think I smell a sin around here. What was he doing? Is that right? Or sin sniffers. We've got plenty of them sometimes. It spills over into our worship time, maybe, our worship life. We have all of these kinds of distractions. But I want to say to you today, and I want to get the message out to you as we began singing here, about great is thy faithfulness, that there is only one thing that you can count on, and that is that God is faithful. Let me say it again. God is faithful. I think, this is just an I think, I'm throwing this out here. But most of us has probably grown up hearing preaching that emphasizes on you being faithful to God. And rightly so, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? To be faithful to God. Who would deny such a good message? That we would practice being faithful. We know that the Bible even supports the whole concept of that. That we are to have faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. And then later on, we're told in verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please God, right? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Or that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, of course, is the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. And then the Hebrew writer again says in Hebrews 10 and verse 36, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Be faithful. After you've done the will of God, recognize that God will be faithful to you to receive the promise. Or the passage in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful." Well, you've heard that all your life, unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. But brethren, if you do a study, a little concordance, a little looking up, I think you will find that there are 10 times as many scriptures concerning the idea of what the title of this lesson is, and the song we just sang is that God is the one who is faithful. Great is His faithfulness. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, it is related to us, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." Isaiah 49 and verse 7 says, "Kings and princes shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful." The psalmist writes in 36 and 5, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches the clouds." Psalm 40 and verse 10, "I have declared thy salvation," or thy faithfulness and thy salvation. And as we just read over here in Psalm 89 and verse 1, the psalmist said, "With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness." It's important for us to be faithful to God, but brethren, the preaching message is that God is faithful to us. Great is His faithfulness. In Psalm 119 and 90, He says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." It's for everybody. The psalmist in 92 and 2 says, "Thy faithfulness I see every night." I'm sure that was an idea of him recognizing that the sun comes up, the sun goes down, and that God continues to make those things happen. Or that great passage that we often sing in a verse of a song in Lamentations 3 and verse 23, "Great is thy faithfulness." I like this New Testament passage in 1 Corinthians 9 where it says, "God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ." Or 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that says, "There is no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, where do you go and find someone who loves you enough that he provides a method of you overcoming, even when he knows that you will be tempted to do something else? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24, "Faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it." He will do it. Or 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, "The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you." Or 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13 that says, "If we are faithless, He will remain faithful." That was a great story about the fellow who wrote the song. Patterson, was that his name, Chris? He writes a song about being faithful and about the mighty power of God, and then himself falls away. Later on, someone else reminds him of the words he's written and helps him to find his way home. I don't know whether you recognize this or realize that every time we come together is always an opportunity. You, as a being a person in Christ, you always have the opportunity and the avenue to return home. You don't have to stay away. And it doesn't have to happen here in this building. You always have that when you're in Jesus Christ. What a great message upon Him who is called faithful and true, says John in the Revelation 19 and verse 41. Or the Amen and the faithful and true witness in 3 and verse 14 of Revelation. What a great message. God will not tempt you or us beyond what we are able to be able to bear without providing for us a way of escape. I love Hebrews 13 and verse 5 that states emphatically, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. What we say about Ebenezer, Chris, the stone of help, that God help them be delivered. I will not fear what man will do unto me. That's basically what, you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did I say that wrong? You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, they got thrown in the fiery furnace. Aren't they the guys that just said, we will not bow down and worship your God? We will not bow down and worship. Our God will save us. Our God will protect us. And even if He doesn't, we're still not worshiping that thing out there. He will. What a great message. What a powerful message. Do you get the idea that God wants us to think of Him as faithful? I'm telling you, there are so, I just touched the hem of the garment of the long list of scriptures that say God is a faithful God. He will not walk out on us. He will not file for divorce. He will not desert us. He will not give up on us. And if you want a sports metaphor, He won't trade us. He loves us. He wants us to be on His team. He is faithful to us. And in a world where so many have difficulty keeping their promises, so many who are unfaithful to us, God remains faithful. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. I'm a firm believer that life ought to teach us lessons about God. And when life teaches us those lessons, I'm also a firm believer that we ought to share those life lessons with others. Don't worry, it's just my grandson down there. Okay? It wasn't explosive either. We don't let him have those yet. Listen to a letter that I was given to read at a funeral earlier in my ministering career. It's an honest, heartfelt message written from a dad. My dear Bristol, before you were born, I prayed for you. And in my heart, I knew that you would be a little angel, and so you were. When you were born on my birthday, it was evident that you were a special gift from the Lord. But how profound a gift you turned out to be. Oh my. More than the beautiful bundles of giggles and rosy cheeks, and more than the firstborn of my flesh, a joy unspeakable. You showed me God's love more than anything else in all of God's creation. Bristol, you taught me how to love. Oh, how I certainly loved you when you were cuddly and cute, when you rolled over and you sat up and you jabbered your very first words. I loved you when, well, searing pain took over your body. And it told all of us that something was wrong. That maybe you were not developing as you should. And when we learned it was even more serious than what we had thought, I loved you when we went from doctor to doctor to clinic, looking for medical diagnosis that would bring us some hope. Of course, we always prayed for you, and we prayed and we prayed. In Bristol, I loved you when one of the tests resulted in too much spinal fluid being drained from your body, and you screamed, and all of those that were working with her were pierced to their hearts because of it. I loved you when you moaned and you cried. When you and your sisters and I would drive you for hours at night just to help you fall asleep. I loved you with tears in my eyes. When confused, you would bite your lip, your finger, all by accident. I loved you when your eyes crossed. I loved you when you eventually went blind. I most certainly loved you when you could no longer speak, but oh, how I miss your voice. And I loved you when your scoliosis began wrenching your body like a pretzel. When we put a tube in your stomach so you could eat because you were choking on your food. Bristol, I loved you even when you could no longer say the one thing a father or a daddy loves to hear be said. Daddy, I love you. I loved you when I was close to God. I loved you when He seemed so far away. When I was full of faith and when I was angry at Him, and when the reason I loved you, my Bristol, in spite of all of these difficulties, is that God put His love in your heart and in mine. This is the wondrous nature of God's love, that He loves us even when we're blind. He loves us even when we are deaf. Or even we are twisted in body and spirit. And He loves us even when we can't tell Him we love Him back. My dear Bristol, now you are free. I look forward to the day when, according to God's faithful promise, that we will be joined together with you and with the Lord, completely whole, full of joy. I'm so happy that you have your crown. We'll follow you someday in His time. Bristol, I loved you before you were born. I prayed for you in my heart, and I knew you would be a little angel. And so you were. Love, Daddy. Great is His faithfulness. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is faithful. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where is holy. This is holy ground.
We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where He is holy. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray, Jesus, now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Sometimes life doesn't make sense. And things happen to us in life that we don't quite understand why. But I want you to know today that great is His faithfulness and that God loves you. For God hath said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. If you can believe that today and you're not in Him, I hope you'll respond and become His child by putting on Jesus Christ in baptism. For God is great in His faithfulness. Won't you come while we stand and sing?